May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take a seat. Now, I'm fairly sure if I asked you to raise your hands, if you're brave enough, of course, if you have a tattoo or a piercing, that there wouldn't be many hands in the air this morning. Although I'm fairly sure some of you may have had your ears pierced at some point in your life. Yeah, okay, hands up, thanks, Jim. Or maybe, secretly, you've had something else somewhere else a little more interesting on your body. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to show me. Interestingly, if I were to ask a cohort of my clergy colleagues at theological college, there would have been quite a number of raised hands. In fact, for some, the hands wouldn't needed to have been raised, because just by looking at their faces, you would have known that there were ink or piercings in all manner of interesting places. And of course, if I were to respond to this question, as some of you know, I would have to put my hand up. Although if you want to know whether it's tattoos or piercings, you'll have to ask me about that later. Thankfully, I've got to go to St. Peter, so you'll have to grab me quick. But what about a different question? What about soul piercing? I wonder if I were to ask those of you here who are mums, or who have children, or grandchildren, or responsibility for children, whether you know something of what soul piercing might be about. The image which comes from today's gospel reading, Simeon holds the Christ child and recognizes that he is holding all heaven in his arms. He can die in peace because God has saved him. He tells Mary that the child will be a sign, a pivot point in history. Because of Jesus, some will fall and some will rise. That which is deep within people will come to the surface, into the light. For Mary, of course, her soul will be pierced. Being a parent or a carer can be soul-piercing stuff. Remember what happens to Moses as a baby. Imagine his mother, Jochebed, doing all she can to ensure her son's safety. How desperate must she have been to put this little boy into a basket, into crocodile-infested waters? And what about Hannah, from the reading which we just heard? She'd wept bitterly, cried out to God to bless her with a son. So desperate was thee that she promised that if God granted this, she would pretty much do anything, even offer her son's life in service to the Lord, which would mean she would have to give him up. Or Mary, at the foot of the cross, watching her precious child, her son, mocked, humiliated, murdered. Soul-piercing stuff indeed. Those of us who are parents or grandparents who have responsibility for children know about soul-piercing, and I'm pretty sure I've experienced it to a greater or lesser degree. And there is, of course, those who have longed or dreamed for a child, but it simply hasn't happened. They too know about soul piercing, although in a very different way. Whether we have children in our lives or not, we can all imagine what it's like, what this soul piercing is like, perhaps, when we witness human tragedies on the media, like those images that we're seeing at the moment from Ukraine. Children by the sides of roads holding stuffed bears, the only thing they've been able to carry from their homes. Or inside a train looking out of the window, not sure of where they're going or where they're going to end up or what will greet them. Children can bring a mixture of joy, pain, delight, and agony. It's the way of humanity. It's the way of living life in all its fullness. And I don't have to remind you that today is Mothering Sunday. It's that pause in the middle of Lent when we draw our breath perhaps from our Lenten disciplines before launching headlong into Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, Holy Week and Easter. And today we do give thanks, regardless of what I said at the beginning, for our mothers and all that she means to us. But of course, let's not forget what this day is really about. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Mothering Sunday was actually a day for returning and giving thanks for Mother Church. Whether that was a cathedral like Canterbury Cathedral or a place like this, St. Nicholas, a local church. In the past, young people in domestic service returned home to mum for the day and to their mother church to worship. And from what I've read, after the service, they would often go via the fields, pick some flowers to give to their mum when they got home, rather than their local garage, just because they forgot, or maybe that's just me. We are the mother church for this village of Barfriston. For generations, the people in this place have identified with and cherished this church, even if some don't necessarily respect the boundaries. What does it mean for us to mother this community in which we are set? First, being part of the body of Christ makes us family. We're related to one another through our baptism, even those who we might find slightly irksome. As a mother church, we are family for everyone, a place where people can come and be at home and be welcomed. This is a place where people can truly be who they are, warts and all. It's a place where people can grow and develop, explore and question, get things wrong, know themselves, be forgiven, and make a fresh start if necessary. And so it's vital that we are open, we are welcoming, we offer hospitality, and that we don't become an exclusive and inward-looking club. We need to be accepting and welcoming of all, warts and all. The people of this village should be able to look at this building, at this church, as their mother church, with deep affection and with a sense of ownership, and say, "This is our church." And as the body of Christ in this place, we need to show something different. We need to show that having the Holy Spirit at work in our lives makes a real difference to the way that we interact with the people in this community and also our wider parish community, of course. In his second letter to the church in Corinth, as we heard, Paul was writing to remind those early Christians, and us today, by the way, that because we bear Christ's abundant sufferings, we also have Christ's abundant consolation, which we can offer to others. That consolation, that's hope. And we can offer abundant hope to those around us. We are to be people of encouragement, people of hope. And yes, as Mother Church, we may find that we have to endure soul piercing. We may be cut to the quick by the sorrows and the sufferings of those around us. We are brought to our knees sometimes by the suffering we see inflicted on our global neighbours like Ukraine, Afghanistan, Myanmar, Yemen. The list goes on, doesn't it? The apathy and indifference sometimes of our local neighbours. It can be difficult to bear. Infighting, backbiting within our communities, cruelty, hurt and injustice. All these things that are enacted around us. All these things we carry and hurt our souls and our minds at times. But because we are in Christ, because we are in Jesus, we know not just suffering, but also consolation, that hope. We know that resurrection follows death. We will be saying on Easter Day, Christ is risen, and that new heaven and new earth are promised. However difficult life becomes, however much our souls are pierced by the things we see around us, we know that through the power of God, lives can be turned around. We know that through Jesus Christ, lives and community will be transformed, are being transformed. I mentioned to a couple of folks as we started this morning, our Let's Play initiatives. So far, we've had 3 baptisms booked and 2-3 wedding requests coming in through relationships that are being built. People are seeing something different in what's being offered by those who sacrifice and give of their time. Lives will be transformed. And this message of transformation is what we carry. And we state it every time we gather and every time we pray and every time we worship and every time we share communion and every time we celebrate the glory of God. And as we do these things, we celebrate not just for ourselves, but always for the whole community. Whether they come or not, whether they believe or not, we never give up on them. We never lose faith in them. You see, that's what good mothering looks like. So this morning, as we gather together to worship God, to give him the glory, to give him thanks, please give thanks for those who have mothered you down the years. And remember your calling to be part of this Mother Church, offering new life to everyone, offering transformation to everyone, offering sanctuary to everyone. It's our calling. It's our vocation. It's our responsibility to be in and amongst and with our communities, showing something else, showing that the church is alive and the church cares. We are Christ's hands and feet in our communities. We have good news to proclaim and mothering to offer to all who might come to us. This is God's plan. As Jenny said, God's plan of salvation. We're part of it. We're part of God's story. And taking part will become our story. It becomes our vocation. And for some of us, that will be active and obvious, working in the public eye, preaching, leading, teaching, or being and with our communities, taking the love of God out in practical ways for the practical needs that need to be met. For others, it will be quiet, away from the public eye, praying faithfully for God to act in fulfillment of his promises. And for some of us, perhaps a mixture of the two, sometimes announcing God's kingdom loudly by word and deed, sometimes quietly in prayer and petition. But whether it's loudly or quietly, announce the kingdom we must, because this work of Jesus will draw people of all sorts into new relationship, new worship and fellowship. So let's play our part in mothering.